Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 30 November, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday. Yesterday was Julie Flood's birthday. Happy birthday, Julie. Charlie and Julie have been in this church as long as I have, and that's about 500 years. They are the best of the best. And I'll tell you one thing about the ladies in this church. They know how to use rifles, pistols. I got a picture out here. I guided four ladies in this church on a deer hunt. Four ladies, 4 days, four bullets, four deer. They all got their deer with one shot. I could never say that about the guys I guided. Four boxes of bullets and no deer, you know. Anyway, they are the best of the best. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and the five steps to glory. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We also have the update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, November 26th, went very well. There were three new faces in the group this week. After the ladies sang In the Garden with Alan Jackson, we listened to Pastor Olson teach the remainder of Lesson 24. In this lesson, the pastor focused on differences between our current earth and the new earth that the Lord will create after the millennium. We have on this earth vast seas today, but there will be no large bodies of water on the new earth. The sea is used in the Word of God as an analogy for evil in the present earth. The absence of the sea in the eternal state connotes the absence of evil in the new heavens and the new earth. For the benefit of the new attendees, we covered the grace gospel message of salvation by reading the purple book before our closing prayer. I'm also grateful to Al and Daria, who will facilitate the Bible study over the next several weeks while I am on a business trip. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Now there's one other thing I want you to know about that's coming up. The Christmas program this year will be Sunday, December 21st. Sunday, December 21st at 10 a.m. We had a preview of it this Friday. It's spectacular. The Christmas program, Randy, before his promotion, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, right after last year's Christmas program, Randy and Doty started to work immediately on this year's Christmas program. They've been working on it for a year. And about halfway through the year, Randy was promoted to heaven. But before he left, he told Doty, "Now, Doty, I want you to make sure and finish this program for this year and show it. Because when I'm in heaven, I'm going to be watching and seeing how it is." So they finished it. It's absolutely awesome. Now, the thing that's unique about this Christmas program we presented, this is an opportunity for you to invite your family, your friends, your neighbors, anybody that you would like to hear the truth about what Christmas is all about. Then this is the time to invite them to come and watch this program, Sunday, December 21st at 10 a.m. It's absolutely wonderful. All right, Romans chapter 8. Well, we started with verse 28. In fact, we know that to the ones who love God, now that's the key right there, to the ones who love God, and you have to know God before you can ever love God. We know that to the ones who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to the predetermined plan and purpose of God. And then in verses 29 and 30, we have the five steps to glory. Verse 29, we know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew, step number one, he also predestined, step number two, to become conformed to the appearance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, the royal family of God. And then we've exegeted part of verse 30, and whom he predestined, these same ones he also called. Election to privilege, step number three in the five steps to glory. So we have already studied step number one, foreknowledge, and step number two, predestination. That was in verse 29. And now in verse 30, we're going to study step number three, election to privilege, step number four, justification, step number five, glorification. The five steps to glory. And whom he predestined, these same ones he also called, elected to privilege. The omniscience of God knew that we would believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And he knew that before human history ever began. And therefore, From the divine viewpoint, our entrance into the plan of God occurred before human history began. 2 Timothy 1:9. There can be no greater security than to realize that before human history, your entrance into the plan of God was already known and guaranteed. Election is the doctrine which relates the believer to the plan of God from eternity past and coincides with foreknowledge and predestination. Election, foreknowledge, and predestination all occur simultaneously. Election, foreknowledge, and predestination is recognizing what is in the divine decree. God, from his omniscience, knew who would believe in Christ, and he knew that billions of years before man existed on the earth. Election is the plan of God for the believer designed in eternity past. The key to understanding the doctrine of election is the fact that Jesus Christ was elected in eternity past, and we, as church-age believers, are entered into union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Well, this brought us to the doctrine of election, and we're partway through the doctrine of election. We've studied the first 4 points in election. Point one was there are 3 elections in history. There's first of all the election of Israel under the ritual plan of God. Secondly, the election of Christ under the incarnation plan of God. And third, the election of the church under the protocol plan of God. And then point two, each election brought a new category into history. For example, the election of Israel brought in the new racial species, the Jew. Secondly, the election of Christ brought in the hypostatic union. On that very first Christmas, miraculously, the eternal Son of God took on true humanity. The election of Christ brought in the hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Jesus Christ was always the eternal God and therefore different from humanity. And Jesus Christ through the incarnation and virgin birth is true humanity and therefore different from the eternal God. And he had to become true humanity to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin, to be our Savior, to be our great high priest, and to be our mediator. And third, the election of the church brought in the new spiritual species, the royal family of God. Now, in our study and the doctrine of election, we're putting the spotlight on the election of the church, the royal family of God. That brought us to point three, definition. Election is the expression of the sovereign will of God in eternity past, before the universe existed, and before mankind lived on the earth. Election is the sovereign right of God over his creation. Election is a biblical term which is applied to the believer only in the church age. Election, along with foreknowledge, predestination, justification, and glorification, belong only to the believer. That's our passage, Romans 8:28-30, the 5 steps to glory. Election expresses the sovereign will of God for each believer in the royal family during the church age. Election is the expression of the sovereign will of God for your life. Well, predestination is the provision of the sovereign will of God for your life. Under election, the sovereignty of God willed the very highest and best for every believer. The mechanic for the election of the church is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which occurs at that very moment that we believe in Jesus Christ. This is one of the 40 blessings we receive at salvation, by which each one of us is entered into union with Christ. The election of the church includes both equal privilege and equal opportunity for every believer. Under election, equal privilege is your royal priesthood. We are all a royal priest, the universal priesthood of the church age believer. And under election, equal opportunity is the logistical grace, blessing, and support that God gives to all believers. All believers. Whether you're baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, winner believers, loser believers, all believers receive this fantastic equal opportunity of logistical grace, blessing, and support. That brought us to point four, the election of the church. We enter into election the privilege of salvation at the moment of faith in Christ. We have the privilege of historical impact. Historical impact, not only in America, but all over the world through missionary activity. We have the privilege of historical impact by advancing to spiritual maturity and becoming a part of the pivot of mature believers. The function of Gentile client nations, and right now, the United States of America is God's client nation in the world. And the world is blessed from any client nation through all of the pivot of mature believers, the missionary activity all over the world presenting Jesus Christ. So the function of Gentile client nations demands a pivot of spiritually mature believers for freedom and for evangelism. The church age believer must not only understand his relationship to God, but also his relationship to history as well. You must understand your relationship to God, to man, and to history. In fulfilling your relationship to God, we fulfill our relationship to the other two, both man and history. You must know that election is God's plan for your life, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. As God's elected ones, we are commanded to put on the uniform of honor and live our life by the royal family honor code, and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, Colossians 3:12-14, and Ephesians 4:1-3. Our election is not according to works, but according to God's infinite and matchless grace, 2 Timothy 1:9. And believers are commanded to make their calling and election a spiritual reality. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Of course, the question is, how do you make your election a spiritual reality? By living the unique spiritual life God has given to us in the church age by the spiritual skills. By fulfilling the mandates of Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered in your life by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18, keep on growing up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Election is only the potential for impact on history. We make our calling and election a reality when we advance to spiritual maturity. And election is a reason for Thanksgiving. And I see you survived Thanksgiving. Way to go. Good job. Of course, did you rebound gluttony? That's what I want to know. One of those sins. Okay. Well, let's move on. One thing I love, and I don't know what you different people eat, I eat turkey. I love turkey. And I smoke the turkey. It took a long time to find a pipe big enough to smoke it. But I found one, and I smoked this turkey, and it's the best turkey you will ever have. Applewood. Applewood is a smoke, a big pan of beer. That beer, it's going up into the cavity of the turkey, making it so moist, absolutely moist. And in the beer, oranges, citrus, lemons, lots of them in, and it's steaming the turkey, steaming it and steaming it for about 3.5 hours to 4 hours. And when it's done, it is absolutely perfect. And yes, how many helpings did I have? Well, 7's the number of perfection. I mean, you know. And after all that turkey, you know what is great about turkey? Tryptophan. Tryptophan. We had a lot of guests there, and they were talking, and tryptophan tripped in, and I tripped out and just went to sleep. That's what I like about turkey, tryptophan. Well, that brought us to number 5, and we're partway through point number 5, the equal privilege of election. The equal privilege of election, the universal priesthood of the church age believer. And we've studied the first 3 subpoints under point 5. The equal privilege of election is this: the universal priesthood of the church age believer. Never before in human history is every single believer in the church age, we are all priests, a royal priesthood. And we noted in point 1, our royal priesthood shows that God's plan for us in the church age, his royal family, is totally and completely unique. Never before the church age and never after the rapture is there ever another universal priesthood. It's only for us in the church age. Point 2, in the church age, every believer is a priest and represents himself before God. And 3, under the privacy of your priesthood, you are responsible for yourself before the Lord. And this means you are responsible for every thought you think, every motive you have, every decision you make, every action you take, good or bad. God is holding all of us responsible for our own decisions. Why? Because he has made you a priest so that you could represent yourself before him. Now, in the age of Israel, there was a specialized priesthood. You had to be of the tribe of Levi. If you were of the tribe of Levi, you were a part of the Levitical priesthood. The sacrifices they offered were animal sacrifices. And they bring the animal in and sacrifice it, take the blood of the lamb without spot or without blemish, and sprinkle it over the mercy seat. That was a specialized priesthood. And they offered animal sacrifices. Only people in the tribe of Levi could be the priest. But we live in the church age, a universal priesthood. Every church age believer is a priest. And we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. Why? Because all of those types have been fulfilled in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross. Once that was completed, there's no more need for animal sacrifices. So we have a royal priesthood, and our sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. So under that brings us to point 4. We're ready to start now on sub point 4. As a royal priest, every believer has a direct line to God, which means you represent yourself before the Lord. You're as a royal priest. We have a high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our royal high priest. And as a royal priest, every church age believer represents himself before God. Five. Your priest, as a royal priest, also means you have privacy. The privacy of your priesthood is related to the importance of your being able to assemble in a Bible teaching church and learn and believe the Word of God. The privacy of your priesthood is related to the privilege that you have to assemble in a local church and learn and believe the Word of God. Six, the local church should be an environment where believers can gather together and yet have their privacy protected. The local church should be an environment where believers can gather together and yet have their privacy protected. Now, in a local church, the pastor teacher is the final authority in the local church. And therefore, the pastor must protect, he must protect the privacy of all believers that assemble, because every believer is a royal priest. So the pastor is the one who must protect the privacy of all the royal priests in his congregation, every believer who assembles. Seven, the privacy of the priesthood demands that we learn God's word. The privacy of the priesthood is designed so that you can learn God's word, learn the truth of the word of God, and live your life by that truth. Eight, under the privacy of your priesthood, you have the right to assemble with other believers in a group where your privacy is protected, so that you can learn God's word. Under the privacy of your priesthood, you have the right to assemble with other believers in a group where your privacy is protected, so that you can learn God's word. Learn it, believe it, live your life by it. The privacy of your priesthood permits the function of both your positive volition toward God and positive volition toward the Word of God, plus the right to learn, believe, and apply that absolute truth of the Word of God to your own life and experience. Nine, the only human dependence of the royal priesthood is God's provision of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to teach you the Word of God. Ten, faithful Bible teaching from your pastor gives you the opportunity of learning, believing, and applying that teaching to your own life as a royal priest. Faithful Bible teaching from your pastor provides you with the opportunity of learning, believing, and applying that teaching to your own life as a royal priest. Now, why did God give the gift of pastor teacher? Why did he provide that spiritual gift? If you could, it's because you just can't read the Bible on your own and grow up spiritually. If you could do that, then God would never have had anyone give anyone the gift of poimen didaskalos. He wouldn't have given it because he'd just say, okay, read your Bible and grow up. You can't read your Bible and grow up. You can read your Bible, and there are people, I started to do that, read through the Bible in the year. Have you done that? Read through the Bible in the year? You get in the Old Testament with all of these, I got about to Leviticus, and I lost all the steam right there. You could read through the Bible every year, and what you get by way of doctrine, you could put in a thimble, a very small thimble. You need a communicator. So God provided a communicator. In the church age, a pastor. A poimen didaskalos, a pastor teacher. That gift is designed so he can study the Word of God, find out from the original languages exactly what God is putting there, and then communicating it to you so you have the opportunity of learning exactly what God the Holy Spirit put down in the Word of God as absolute truth. So faithful Bible teaching from your pastor gives you the opportunity of learning, believing, and applying that teaching to your own life as a royal priest. 11. As a royal priest, you are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is all of you. You're all universal priesthood of the church age believer. As a royal priest, you are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is taught in several passages. Let's take a look first of all at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, let's start at verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. For a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the virtues of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So as a royal priest, you are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Now, 12. These spiritual sacrifices include rebound as the basic technique for the recovery of fellowship with God, 1 John 1, 9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That restores you to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. The spiritual sacrifices so include rebound, but also it includes a consistent prayer life and the offering of praise to God, thanksgiving to God, and also divine good production and grace giving. And this is seen in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Thanksgiving to God for his person, his essence, who and what he is. Those are spiritual sacrifices that you as a royal priest offer to God every day, maybe several times during the day. But that's not the only spiritual sacrifice. And do not neglect the spiritual sacrifice of divine good production and the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So these spiritual sacrifices include not only rebound, but a prayer life with consistent sacrifices of thanksgiving to God, divine good production, and grace giving, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Now that brings us to point six. Point six, the equal opportunity under election. The equal opportunity under election is the divine provision of logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that's given to all church age believers. From the moment of your salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, till death or the rapture, whichever comes first, and it looks like the rapture is getting closer. But nobody knows the time or the day. The equal opportunity under election, the divine provision of logistical grace, blessing, and support. So let's take a look at this and define this. First of all, one, two aspects of logistical grace come to you down the grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness of God in you on the other end. That grace pipeline. First of all, God sends down logistical support, which is designed to sustain you, keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. To sustain you, keeping you alive in the middle of the devil's world. So that's logistical support. And secondly, logistical blessing, which is the very additional and wonderful blessing, more than just support. So logistical support and logistical blessing. Two, both logistical support and blessing is provided for all believers. All believers. All church age believers. Baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, winner believers, loser believers, all believers receive this because all believers have God's imputed righteousness. And this gives all believers equal opportunity. Equal opportunity because all church age believers have God's imputed righteousness. Third, the righteousness of God has demanded ever since the moment of your salvation that the justice of God sustain your life even through all the stupid mistakes and dumb decisions that we make. The righteousness of God has demanded ever since the moment of your salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, that the justice of God sustain your life, even through our stupid mistakes and dumb decisions that we make. 4. The righteousness of God demands that the justice of God keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world that you might fulfill your personal destiny. The righteousness of God demands that the justice of God keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world in order that you might fulfill your personal destiny. Five, all of us are alive by the logistical grace of God. Temporal security after salvation. All of us are alive by the logistical grace of God. Temporal security after salvation. Six, the justice of God is the initiator of logistical grace. Logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that means that every day, day by day, on a daily basis, the justice of God sends down that grace pipeline to the indwelling righteousness of God in you. Everything it takes to keep you alive and to sustain you, as well as providing great and wonderful blessings in your life. 7. The justice of God sends undeserved blessings to all believers. All believers. The justice of God sends undeserved blessings to all believers. 8. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break right there. We're running out of time for the first class. Give you a chance to go out and get some refreshments. About 15 minutes, we'll come back for part two. We're still in the doctrine of election. All right?